where God unites nations.
Show them the way that you feel.
They say,
shower the people love with love.
Thank you, James Taylor, for the Shower the People You Love with Love. You're listening to the Soulful Mind radio program, and I'm Dr. Patrick Ware, Duluth, Georgia, child psychiatrist. We've got a total of over a century of living experience. Our intent here on this program is to open a dialogue for you concerning a way, methods, opportunities that exist for you to access your full heart, to eliminate judgment of what you feel and think. Today we're going to be talking a little bit later about parenting. We're at 770-491-7748. We look forward to your input, questions, observations, suggested subjects. We would also like to remind you that this program is the opinion of the presenters and does not in any way intend to reflect opinions of other individuals or professionals or organizations that deal with support and help, be they clerical or mental health in nature. Good news, Minister Kane will be here live next Friday on the 20th. Her intent is to further discuss parenting, and I invite the listener to send us an email at our website, www.thesoulfulmind.com. There are links there, and you can propose subjects or thoughts or questions that Minister Kane will be pleased to address. Our family of listeners is continuing to grow. We thank Cindy for her personal communications this week concerning her appreciation for the program and its impact on her life and the life of her family. Also to Kenneth for his lengthy, challenging letter to me, and hopefully I'll have the opportunity of addressing at least a couple of those points today as we go forward. Again, we're at 770-491-7748. We want to remind you that the single purpose of this program is to assist you in a full discovery of God's sacred gift of life and soul, and that your discovery of how to accept that gift fully is the only barrier to experiencing God's love and life to the fullest. Everyone who has previously been willing to pursue this program has reported a fuller, more rich, and wonderful relationship with themselves, all of those people they know, and most importantly, God. Yes, life in all of its glory. It is our experience and bias that we humans are the primary barrier to receiving God's full sacred gift of a full, rich life. And this program offers one way of addressing our own resistance. While this approach is incredibly simple, it is indeed profound and is one of the ways the human heart can be open to accept life fully and completely. What we have here is a vehicle that is proven to assist you in just doing that. I will remind you that the exercise is listed on the internet at www.thesoulfulmind.com. The idea behind the exercise is simply to allow an individual to appreciate their experience of feeling from a slightly different perspective just during the time of the exercise, which actually takes only a moment. After any feeling, any size, any quality, any time, other than when you're operating heavy machinery, such as a vehicle in Atlanta expressway traffic, you simply pause after that feeling has reached its zenith, its maximum point, and at some point thereafter you ask yourself, and how intense was that? Using a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 represents no intensity and 10 represents the most intense feeling that you could ever imagine in your life. So most of the time, your feelings will fall between those two points. And you let the feeling really tell you where it belongs on that spectrum. At the point where that value has registered within your mind, you are finished and you move on to the next experience. Generally, people have reported that the simpler the exercise, the more often they do it, the more diverse the feelings that they address are, meaning little ones, big ones, medium-sized ones, pleasant ones, unpleasant ones, that in essence the depth, pace, rate, and quality of their discovery is enhanced tremendously. We'll also remind listeners that we have come up with a wristband that was suggested by one of our clients because that individual was having difficulty remembering to do their intensity monitors. And that wristband is available through the website. It's one of those voguish things that kids love. We have two versions currently. One is kind of a hot pink, and the other is a very, very bland purple. And both have the website address on one side and the question, how intense was that, on the other. So how about it, folks? Are you listening? Do you know how very important it is to us and to the other listeners that you are out there listening and hopefully beginning your own intensity monitors? Please let us know. We're reaching you. We're waiting for your email, voicemail, telephone message, or call in about whatever your experience is, and certainly about the changes that you're seeing. We're all here for you, deeply in prayer that you can hear us. An opening prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly ask for your blessing and direction in this ministry. Open our hearts and ears that we may hear, and have our hearts and minds guided that we may be heard by those who will benefit from your gifts. 770-491-7748. In just a minute, we'll be looking at parenting again, which we began a couple of weeks ago. I want to remind listeners that our dear webmaster, Miss Jenny, is continuing to post old programs, or the previously broadcast programs, on the website, www.thesoulfulmind.com, so that the listener can go back and review those programs. If you have DSL or cable on your computer and sound, you can go back and review those programs and the program notes. The actual printed version is available there at your leisure. Again, another reminder, our global shared human universal desire and theme, to love and to be loved. What more is there in this brief stay we have here? Have you ever had the sense that you have difficulty in getting in touch with your own feelings? What if that's your first signal of what's missing in your life? Do you really think that you can successfully run away from your own heart? If you have any sense that enhancing the quality of your life is a very real asset that you can at least imagine, could propel you forward into life far beyond your imagination, you are at the right place, and we have the right stuff. We hope that you will listen critically, even explore our website, read what other people have posted and responded to concerning their experience with the exercise, their benefits, what they're discovering about living a more full and rich life, and how to do that. Begin the exercise yourself. Listen to our past programs, and by all means, let us know how it's going. We believe that first you discover that living a full, rich life is possible by experiencing that with others. Then you explore the opportunity for yourself. And lastly, you share and teach others what you have and are learning. We are, after all, in this journey together, and we really do owe others this unbelievable news. We grow as we share and teach others as well. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know who you are and how you're doing. We are a family together. Another reminder that a listener suggested not long ago was that we should tell you that it's okay to call. It's okay to interrupt. One person said, I'd just rather listen and take notes. Well, you know, that's wonderful. But I think we've had several callers in the last few weeks who really have shared their hearts and souls with what they were discovering and how they were experiencing life opening up for them. And all of them are reporting a much richer and deeper relationship with their Lord. That's a big one, I think. Today's topic, 770-491-7748. Are you out there, parents? I can't imagine that there isn't at least one parent out there who has a challenge, a problem, a conflict, a child, an adolescent who is pushing them beyond their capacity to understand how they might approach that child. So I'm going to begin, and I'll go as far as I can with my prepared comments, but I would also invite you to consider calling and sharing your challenge with your child or your knowledge of another person's child, and we'll respond and see how it goes. Previously, we have laid the foundation for understanding all relationships and the development of the individual's self-awareness, identity, simple friendship, and romantic attraction, if you will. And yes, Kenneth, the ultimate relationship is with our God, but my experience is that the multitude of us are missing that opportunity to a profound extent. Today and even next week with Minister Kane, we're going to continue exploring relevant aspects of our relationships, especially focusing on children. We have recently looked at abuse, and specifically sexual abuse last week, and to some extent the week before, in terms of its impact on children and development, and all of us, actually. Parenting is an intrinsic conflict of interest, namely, how to administratively supervise someone that you are emotionally attached to, someone you love. Parents, as well as all of us, tend to instinctively give to others those things we would like to receive, often without checking to see if their gift to the other is actually desired, prized, or valued. I see parents giving their children those gifts and freedoms that they wish they had been given when they were children. The problem is that their children quite often see the gifts as undeserved freebies and respond as many of us do when we're given things we haven't earned, aren't ready for, or otherwise don't appreciate, privileges, luxuries, and things of that sort. I promise you, listeners, that buying your 15-year, 6-month-old youth a $40,000+ SUV is not a way to motivate them to raise their grades to their full ability. The parent often unconsciously, on many occasions, has defined the nature of their own past challenges as coming from not having received that which they give readily to their children, and they're surprised when the child doesn't respond with profound gratitude. A personal note, I remember when my children, if they're listening, they're grinning at this point, were about 10 years old, and after an offense committed by my son, I lost my temper and angrily redressed him about the incident. After a brief while, I gained my composure and told him I was sorry for the way I had delivered the structure, saying something like, "I'm sorry about being fussy," although I was clear that I did not take back the content of what I had expressed concerning what he had chosen to do. His response was a rather matter-of-fact, "That's okay, Dad, you have to be something," as a response to my having just said I was sorry I was fussy. He, of course, did not understand that the gift I was giving him, I thought, was something that I had never had with my father, that is, an ability to dialogue about life and the complexities of things that arise within the relationship. To parent one, must know one's own self. We've been talking about that extensively. That is the foundation, the core, the center of this program. That includes your relationship with your children. You know, to make a relationship or develop a relationship with yourself, following the program and our recommended choices about self-awareness and reflection, you will find that as your relationship with yourself enhances, then your ability to relate to more successfully everyone that you know is more successful. Any good human system needs direction and leadership. parents are stand-ins as teachers for the rest of society. You know, those things that you are unsuccessful in teaching your children before they leave your home are going to have to be addressed by those that they live with and relate to and work with. You really can't protect your children from future trauma or adversity, but you can teach them how to be and how to rely on themselves. Leadership is structure and limits. Do you, as a parent, have a mission concerning your family and children? What keeps you from doing what you know your children need? When I work with moms and dads, quite often together, but on occasion separately, I tell them to take a walk independently, individually, of one another, if it's a couple, with an index card. And during their walk, they ask themselves, what is my vulnerability to my child? Quite often, it's different from one child to the next. Another way of putting the question would be, how do my children manipulate me? When do I not do for my child what I know I need to do? And during your walk, you make a list of those things or methods or entities or occurrences that you're aware of that are associated with you not acting like you know you need to do for your child. We all have those places, those spaces, those vulnerable areas, but we really need to think about what happens when we're really not doing what they need you to do. So on one side of the card, you put your vulnerabilities, and then after you finish that list during your walk, then you address your spouse's list on the other side of the card. And both spouses are walking and making their own list of concerning themselves, and then subsequently their list concerning their perception of their spouse's weaknesses or areas of vulnerability. And then hopefully the parents can get together and share those two lists, one with each other, ending up being four lists, actually. Most of the time, these parents have been together for many years, and many of them they already know, but quite often they've never really discussed it openly. One of the first steps of figuring out how to plug the hole in the dam is to start looking for the weaknesses. That's step one. Step two has to do with the mission. What do you want your children to have as resources, as standards, as foundational elements to their character the day they walk out of your home? And if you, as a leader in that family system, do not have some things that are absolute zero tolerance, non-negotiable limits, then it's highly unlikely that your child is going to be able to acquire character, if you will, as well as the elements that you would like them to have. So the second walk that I send parents on individually is basically coming up with their list of zero-tolerance, non-negotiable family values. And the parents, if there is a couple, both take independent walks, and they make their own list of those things that they are absolutely willing to walk to the wall with if they even think their child is having difficulty with them. I try as a counselor to not tell them what to put on their non-negotiable list, but some people quite often will include things like industry, doing your very best in all that you do. The old folks would tell us that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. You wouldn't believe how many youth I counsel in family settings who have rarely ever, other than manipulation of their parents, ever put their whole heart and soul into anything. So industry is one that comes up quite often. Empathy, the awareness of one's impact on others as an important part of living one's day. Integrity or honesty, if you will, cooperation, respect of a duly appointed authority figure. Those are just some of the ones that the parents are willing to absolutely walk to the wall if they think their child is having any difficulty with that. The methods of teaching. How do we go about conveying from one generation to the other, from a parent to a child, these lessons, these zero-tolerance, non-negotiable entities? And the answer is readily available to you in your own reflection, your own recall. If you simply look back in your memory bank and ask yourself, who are my best teachers? Who are the people who were the most effective at teaching me the most, and as well challenging me beyond, at the point that I knew myself at that time, beyond my own awareness of my abilities? I'll never forget an experience I had as a sophomore. I came from a family that wherein the expectation was that I would always make B's or better. And at that point in time, I rarely ever studied very hard, didn't work very hard, and B's or better came really without much energy or effort at all. One day at the end of a geometry class, the lady in my small rural Southern Illinois high school taught trigonometry, math, and other geometry and Latin, flaming redhead. She looked at me at the end of the class and she said, "I'd like to speak to you." And I, at that point, immediately assumed that she knew that I'd been chewing gum. But her admonition was that she was very aware that I was doing no work at all. At that point, I had, you know, probably an 88, 89 average in everything, about as many A's as B's, but I was doing literally no work, and she knew it. And she looked at me and she said, "I just want you to know that until I see you make straight A's, that I don't think you're putting out any effort." And I, for a long time, thought about that, and I really had not seen myself as being a straight A student. And so she was someone who, without going into a lot of detail, was someone who saw that I had depth and ability and resource that I wasn't using, and she wanted to put me on notice. And at that point, I then began to think about the possibility of making straight A's, and then subsequently discovered that it wasn't actually a whole lot more effort to make straight A's than it was making 87s and 86s. But first you have to conceptualize the idea. So the method of transfer of culture from one generation to the other is based on two basic processes. One is the expectation by the teacher that the student will absolutely get the lesson. That's what I'm doing on this radio program. I am committed to the idea, to the opportunity, to the result, to this, your listener's ability to hear what we're saying. That if you do follow the intensity monitor exercise conscientiously and talk with us via email or even call in terms of how it's going, that you're going to develop your ability to embrace all of your heart and soul. My expectation is you will get it. I don't know how long it's going to take or what kinds of events or circumstances are going to have to happen in your life. Hopefully not profound tragedy, but if that happens, we're here. I'm here. This resource is here for you. So the first thing that one uses, the first process that one uses, first of two in conveying a lesson to someone, is the teacher's absolute total expectation that the student will get it. The second thing that the teacher uses is repetition, ad nauseum. One of the things I share with parents is, you know, you come up with your list of non-negotiable, zero-tolerance family values, and then every time your child does something or says something that gives you an opportunity to give them a lecture about whatever that subject is, you give them the lecture over and over and over and over. And it is surprising how soon they begin reporting that their kids are on the phone talking to one of their peers, giving the same lecture to their friend about responsibility, empathy, industry, respect, consideration for others, without ever realizing where it came from. And many times without realizing that they still have large areas within their own life that they need to attend to in regards to those challenges. What every child person needs most in life is a relationship with one person, one time, who doesn't use them for that person's own needs. The opportunity, in essence, to be an individual within a loving and challenging attachment. We look at other issues. We're running about out of time today. We've got a few more minutes, 770-491-7748. We need to look at what are the things that enhance a parent's ability to parent. And of course, the listener, you know that our position on that is a full, rich relationship with your own heart. There are also resources through your church, peers, mentors, hopefully your spouse if you have one, as well as professional sources. What kinds of things diminish a parent's ability to parent? Stress, being overwhelmed. I think probably the most common one I see in my practice is divorce and custody things. You've got one parent who has the medical decision ability, and you have and physical custody, primary or on the majority of time. And you have another parent who has custody but who does not have medical decision, and so a parent decides to bring their youth to my office, and it's quite often that it's very hard to get the other parent involved. Parents obviously avoiding themselves, that's a big one. How can a parent, teacher, or coach assist someone else with a life challenge, such as abuse or other issue, if they themselves have not mastered the challenge themselves? So step one for a parent is to look at their own life in terms of opportunity, challenge, trauma, and appraise how they have faced and learned from their own misfortunes. We talked last week, I believe, about how one seeks help and what are the issues with helpers, and I would just remind you that professional help usually involves formal credentials, academic credentials. There needs to be the perception on the part of the receiver of the assistance that you can actually understand and be heard by your coach or counselor. And third, within a relatively short period of a few weeks or a few months, the change actually happens. So in closing, I would just like to say simply that parenting is an incredible opportunity. It's a wonderful experience, the challenge. It will take you back to your own childhood and hopefully propel you into your own world of success and soulful life experience. We're here at thesoulfulmind.com. We'll remind you that the website is www.thesoulfulmind.com. We're open to emails as well as call in, 770-491-7748. We love you. God loves you. Have a wonderful week and enjoy this incredible springtime. I'm off next week as Minister Kane presents to you to celebrate my son's being ordained as an Episcopal priest in Washington, D.C. How many gifts we get. Bye for now. Thank you.